This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor, and I'm in southern New England, where it is moderating after a very cold and bitter and icy February. We're days from springtime. I go now to my good colleague and Oz watcher, Jeremy Zakas. He's in New South Wales, where it's the end of summer, coming fall, and it's extremely, extremely hot for New South Wales. There's more. Jeremy, a good day to you. I report that no longer 7 degrees at 5 a.m. Fahrenheit. Now it's 37 degrees at 5 a.m. Fahrenheit, and that is very comforting. During the day, it reaches 50 or can touch 60 Fahrenheit. In other words, we're having a wonderful springtime. You are at the end of your summer, and something's happened. What is the weather right now, and what's it been this last week? Good day to you, Jeremy.
You know, John, yes, something has certainly happened here and something a little bit unexpected. We are getting a last blast of summer. In fact, we are getting temperatures that are hotter than we've had in probably the last decade at the center point of March. And when I say hot, you're talking about getting above 32 degrees Fahrenheit, so getting above freezing there. We're talking about temperatures daily now where we're getting around about 100 degrees Fahrenheit for a maximum temperature. In fact, as I'm speaking to you now, well before midday, we're already crossing into around about 90 degrees Fahrenheit, heading to about 100, 105 degrees here in Sydney alone. And this is really, really surprising because you may remember only just last week, John, we were talking about a cyclone up the Queensland coast that came on shore, dumping a lot of rain and a fair bit of cool weather down the eastern coast here. We were actually talking about getting cooler weather possibly by the end of this week. Well, it didn't happen. In fact, what happened was the complete reverse. The weather actually changed around from blowing basically cool air in from the ocean where the cyclone had pushed it to blowing really, really hot air in from the western side of Australia. So you can imagine all those deserts, all the really, really hot rocks and hot bits of land that Australia has, all the weather we're getting right now has come across there. The air's been superheated as it comes through the continent, and we're now getting it here in Sydney. And it's not just here in Sydney. Down in Victoria, it's getting warmer. Up in Queensland, it's getting warmer. And even down in poor old Tasmania, they're getting, you know, around about 80 degrees Fahrenheit days, which sounds beautiful and pleasing, but that's actually warmer than they normally get at this time of year. So, John, honestly, we should be talking about going into fall. You know, it's going to get cooler. The leaves will fall off the trees, etc. But not really. We're actually getting summer part two, it feels like, and it's not going to disappear. It's really going to be around probably for at least the next 4 days.
I pulled up a map from your weather service, the Met, and there's a huge high headed your way. Huge. It's now south of West Australia, south of Perth, and it's just cresting now where you are. So it looks like it's going to get hotter, Jeremy. Is that what they're telling you? Because for the next 4 days, that high is going to pass over you, and that's where the hot air is.
Absolutely, John. In fact, the position of the high is very important too, because as you mentioned there, it's actually the southern part of Australia. And here in Australia, we have to the south of us, Antarctica, which is where a lot of cool temperature and a lot of cool weather comes from. So typically in Australia, when we're starting to see cooler temperatures, it's because that Antarctica weather is actually pushing up into Australia, mixing in with our weather systems and cooling things down. But the problem is by having a high immediately to the south and crossing from west to east along the southern part of Australia, it's actually pushing down all that cooler weather that would otherwise come to Australia. So while the high itself is actually heating up Australia and pushing that hot air onto the continent, it's actually blocking any cooling effect from the south, which is what we rely on to get the cooler temperatures and generate rain conditions in places like Victoria and even Adelaide in South Australia. So honestly, John, the next 4 days are going to be atrocious. But unfortunately, it's going to probably extend beyond that because that high will linger for a fair while and actually stop any cooling conditions coming up towards us. So unfortunately, I think summer is definitely here to stay, at least for another week or two, and we're just going to have to live with it.
I can see the cold front pushing in from that would be east of you, east southeast of you. It's pushing up, but the high is going to hold it off on the 18th. Late at night at 10 p.m. This is a good projection. The 19th, do they go to the 20th? The high will pass over you on the 20th. Maybe you can hope for relief by the 20th, which, of course, is the day we celebrate the first day of spring. So you have the heat, we'll have the flowers. Okay. Now, Jeremy, your weather is very different from what I'm used to because it's continental weather. It appears that you have weather that's actually not related to itself. Queensland has a completely different experience than you do in New South Wales. Western Australia also has a different experience, and I don't know about the Northern Territory. We never talk about it. Is it because of the size of the continent, because you have weather coming from the Indonesia, from the tropics, you have weather coming from the Indian Ocean, and you just said you have weather coming from Antarctica. Is that why your weather is so fragmented?
That's exactly right. In fact, because the continent too is so large, it is mostly desert, so we don't have a lot of large mountain ranges to effectively break up the weather systems. What we tend to get are extremes in the polar parts of the continent. So north, south, east, and west tend to be completely different to each other. But the northern part, as you identified, has Indonesia, which is a very, very tropical, very humid monsoonal part of the world that's just near the equator. So we not only get all that weather there, but because we have the desert hot air and the desert winds that push up into it, that all mixes together, which means that Northern Territory, Darwin, and certainly Northern Queensland gets a super, super humid and very, very hot weather system, whereas the rest of the continent never will. Because then as you track down to, say, South Australia and Victoria in the south, they'll get very hot conditions. But because we have Antarctica, which is generating a lot of drier air that comes across in the form of the jet stream, that won't get monsoonal. That will, in fact, become very dry. So when we get cold weather down there, it's very, very dry, may have a little bit of rain, may not. But then when it flips back to being hot, it gets extremely hot but dry, whereas the north will be very monsoonal. Then you have Western Australia, which has what we call the Roaring Forties, which is basically a very strong wind system that comes off the Indian Ocean and basically blows on land at around about 40 latitude. And that in itself not only causes a gusty wind front to always be hitting the Western Australian coastline, that's hitting the hot deserts there in Western Australia and generates its own heat systems very quickly, but then pushes the weather across the west of Australia. So by the time we get to, say, where we are here in Sydney, not only has it possibly mixed with Western Australia hot wind conditions, then mixed with the very dry hot conditions in, say, Central Australia, it's getting very, very hot by the time it hits us here on the east. But there's actually a disruptor here on the east that makes our weather completely different to the rest. We have the Blue Mountains and the Great Dividing Range, which is a very large mountain range that pretty much runs up and down the entire continent, north and south. When I say the entire continent, it does start to peter out in central Queensland, but very much creates a dividing range between the east coast and the rest of Australia. When a lot of the weather hits that, you start to see the winds basically pushing up into the atmosphere. They kind of mix in and create, I guess you could say, normal kind of rain systems and actually moderate the weather. So for us here in Sydney, typically, we'll actually get very, very nice weather. But the only conditions that it doesn't happen, which is what we're seeing today, is when there's a sneaky high in the southern part of Australia that actually pushes the winds up around the Great Dividing Range into the Sydney area and gets away from the actual mountain range and actually sneaks it up through the middle. So we definitely have very, very different weathers here because of the fact we're a continent and quite an unusual continent in how it's built, but also too that we have extreme Antarctica to the south and the extreme Indonesian archipelago to the north that creates these very, very strange weather systems for us. So it's always, always different, always interesting.
When last we spoke, there was a cyclone heading into Queensland. What happened?
Well, John, that cyclone did actually hit. It was Cyclone Albert, and it did come on shore. But by the time it came on shore, because it had been building and growing in so much power offshore and actually slowed itself down because it grew so large, by the time it hit Queensland, it actually became a tropical depression, as they called it. So it was no longer a cyclone as it crossed the coastline, but became a tropical storm. However, once it became that tropical storm, as we discussed last week, it actually basically flattened itself out and covered a larger range. So not only did we see flooding in Brisbane and central Queensland, here in northern New South Wales, especially around the Lismore region, which is upper New South Wales, we actually saw a lot of additional flooding that we probably wouldn't have got if the cyclone had remained a cyclone and fairly tight and fairly high winds in one central area. So unfortunately, it grew, it spread itself out, a lot of flooding everywhere, but the saving grace was we actually got a very hot weather system, which we're experiencing now straight afterwards, and it completely dissipated the rain band. So while there was a little bit of flooding, it wasn't as bad as we thought it could be.
We're headed to Queensland. The aftermath of the storm was a great deal of rain, some flooding, and a very brave man, Nick Colquhoun, to rescue his prize bull, Droughtmaster. what he faced. We'll ask all of you whether you'd face these odds that Nick faced. Jeremy Zakas in the very overheated New South Wales. I'm John Batchelor in the very comfortable southern New England with spring in days. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.